Christmas puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, another edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Served up on a Sunday, and as always, Gordon Goldsborough is here from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So what are we discussing this week?
We're talking about the Rodney Dangerfield of local history books, in that they get no respect.
Well, I tell you.
Some libraries refuse to collect them, despite the rare information they contain. So today we're talking about, wait for it, school yearbooks.
Ah, okay. So libraries don't collect school yearbooks.
Well, I'm sure that some libraries, especially ones in schools, do retain copies of their own yearbooks. But a notable library that does not collect yearbooks is the Legislative Library of Manitoba, despite the legal deposit program, which in my view should mean they are collected.
The legal deposit program, what is that?
Well, in 1919, the Manitoba Legislative Assembly passed the Legislative Library Act, and under that act, one copy of any material published in Manitoba is supposed to be sent by the publisher free of charge to the Legislative Library.
Oh.
Now, in theory, this would make the Legislative Library the most comprehensive one in the world for materials relating to Manitoba, because in theory, if they've got every single book ever published, well, it should be the most thorough. Compliance, well, it's not enforced, especially if the book is self-published by a person rather than a company.
Oh, I see.
And if a publisher does not submit a book, well, they're not going to get a visit from the cops.
Right.
You know, there is no enforcement, really. But many years ago, I asked a librarian at the Legislative Library if they collected school yearbooks, and they responded no, with what I perceived was a bit of snark in their voice, as though they thought it was a silly question. You know, it wasn't. It was a genuine question. Don't they collect them? No, they don't. But I think that a thoughtful answer to my question would hinge on two related questions. First, is a school yearbook a publication as defined by the Legislative Library Act? And two, is there a public interest in collecting school yearbooks? In other words, is it worthwhile keeping them? And one might also question the logistical feasibility of a library collecting yearbooks. You know, given that there are hundreds of schools across Manitoba that have produced yearbooks through the years, and acquiring and storing such a large volume of material would be a challenging task, I think.
Yeah, now that you think about it, there would be thousands and thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
But is a school yearbook a publication?
Well, we tried to answer this question about a dozen years ago. The MHS was considering starting a project to digitize school yearbooks and put them online so that they would be searchable. Before we went ahead with the idea, we sought legal advice on the potential ramifications of the project. Were yearbooks public documents that could be made available? We were told, yes, a school book is released publicly in the same way as any other book. We could put them online as long as we secured permission from the copyright holder, you know, the same as any other book. Probably either the issuing school or the school division. They would be considered the copyright holders.
And your second question, is there a public interest?
Well, that's where we encountered a clear polarization of opinion. Some people felt that putting digitized school yearbooks online was a wonderful idea. They couldn't wait to browse them.
Right.
Others strongly opposed the notion and were adamant that such material should never be made public. You know, and I believe this divergence stems in part from differing views on privacy and the public sharing of personal history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are simply private by nature. They prefer not to reveal anything about themselves, let alone how they looked or behaved in their youth as captured in a school yearbook, you know, from decades past.
So
you know,
this is all about hairstyles then?
Well, hairstyles, sometimes there'd be comments made in your books
that,
you know, you won't necessarily want to revisit, but...
The signatures in the back.
Oh, yeah,
I know what you mean. Okay, so give us a little history about school yearbooks in the first place. How is it Has it always been something that schools, produced, published?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that there's a definitive answer to that question, but I know that yearbooks at the University of Manitoba, which, by the way, were called Brown and Gold after the school's colors, they began in 1920. Now, I have a copy from 1924 in my personal library, and, you know, I flipped through it the other day, and I recognized many names that would later become familiar across Manitoba. You know, they're genuinely fascinating to browse. Mm-hmm. You know, yearbooks became more widespread in Manitoba during the 1950s and 60s. So, for example, my father, a school teacher by profession, was a passionate advocate for yearbooks. He helped produce yearbooks for schools that had never had one before. You know, things like elementary and junior high schools. They didn't typically produce them, but when my dad was there, they produced one. Among the many boxes of material I inherited from Dad are numerous yearbooks, including some from schools that no longer exist, and schools so small, they may have only published a yearbook because of his encouragement.
Well, that would be a good enough reason to collect them in the first place for, you know, schools that no longer exist, like part of history, right?
Absolutely. You know, in my view, it is absolutely a good reason to keep yearbooks. So, for example, I attended a high school in southwest Winnipeg that no longer exists. The building was later repurposed as a middle school. Yet, its library still holds a complete collection of yearbooks from Charleswood Collegiate Institute. It spans from its very first year in 1956 to its final year in 1982. And now, that may well be the only full set of CCI yearbooks in existence. I mean, I have ones from my years, of course, but I don't have ones going back to the 1950s. And I worry that someday a librarian might decide that the collection is simply not worth the space that it occupies. So I worry that that one rare set may disappear all of a sudden. Another example. Just a few weeks ago, I purchased a set of yearbooks from a seller in southern Ontario, all for the Poplar Field Collegiate. Now, research by the Manitoba Historical Society showed that the school adopted that name in 1962 when it moved into a brand new building in Poplar Field. Apparently, there weren't enough students to sustain a high school in Poplar Field, and it closed in 1967. During its brief 5-year existence, the Collegiate produced a yearbook every second year. I guess it was a cost-cutting measure. And that means that there were only 3 yearbooks ever made. And now I own all 3. You know, they may be the only copies in existence.
And you found them in southern Ontario.
I did.
I don't doubt that for a second. So is there actually a practical use to school yearbooks other than, you know, reminiscing or nostalgia?
Well, I think that's certainly one element of it. You know, on a very informal level, yearbooks can help people reconnect with friends from their distant past. You know, maybe there's someone you were close to in high school, but you've lost touch over the years. A glance through a yearbook might jog your memory. Oh, hey, look at, there's Doug. Right. And with a bit of researching on social media, you might even find a way to reconnect with Doug. And who knows, you know, what kind of friendship might rekindle that way. You know, yearbooks can also serve more practical purposes. You know, for example, they may provide evidence to substantiate things like old age pension claims.
Oh.
If someone had no other means of proving their age and therefore their eligibility for a pension, a school yearbook that listed them could be a valuable document saying, see, I was in grade 10 in this year. I must therefore have been around the age that I would be if I was eligible for a pension. Beyond that, yearbooks can often contain information that you'd find nowhere else. Many include advertisements. The Poplar Field Collegiate yearbooks, for instance, featured charming ads for businesses at places like Arburg, Broad Valley. Well, I didn't know there were any businesses ever at Broad Valley. It's a pretty small place. Chatfield, Fisher Branch, Lundar, Poplar Field. And most of those businesses are gone. And their existence may be documented nowhere else but in the yearbooks. These books also listed the names of teachers at the school. And I was surprised to discover that in 1967, all 3 teachers at Poplar Field Collegiate were from Trinidad. You know, it makes me wonder, what drew 3 young men from Trinidad to settle in Poplar Field in the early 1960s? And how did the exposure of the students to Trinidadian culture influence those kids? You know, it may have been the first time they met someone from outside Canada. Now, you know, that could be really eye-opening.
I'm sure that there may be a couple of listeners out there who might know something about that, actually.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping we may hear from them. So to me, you know, this example illustrates the power and the impact of school yearbooks. And I think it makes a case that some librarians, if not the ones bound by the legal deposit program at the legislative library, should be collecting them. There's my case.
Good point. Good point. Thanks for that, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, I confess that until relatively recently, I wasn't a fan of mid-century architecture that Winnipeg has in abundance. My view was changed through the work of a foundation here in the city that promotes interest in architecture generally. We'll talk about the foundation next week, and in particular, one of its recent publications that should be interesting to anyone who enjoys learning about historic buildings.
I know who you're talking about, and they do love mid-century architecture. Thanks for that, Gordon. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.